many people assume epilepsy is a rare disease, but actually, the neurological disorder affects about 65 million people around the world. That makes it one of the most common neurological diseases. And researchers estimate that about 70% of people with epilepsy could be seizure-free if they got the proper treatment. Correct diagnosis and treatment is vital, because for those with epilepsy, the risk of premature death can be 3 times higher than for the general population. The point was brought home to us shockingly after the sudden death of Disney star Cameron Boyce during a seizure. The 20-year-old died overnight without warning. We look into what epilepsy is and what can be done about it. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and this is Fox 11 News In Depth. Today, we're talking about epilepsy. You might think you know an awful lot about the illness, but there are as many misconceptions about this condition as there are misdiagnoses. You know, on camera right now, we're going to bring in Dr. Sean Hussein. He's an associate clinical professor of pediatrics at UCLA. He is the director of UCLA's Infantile Spasms Program. Doctor, good to see you. Thanks for joining us. And I guess the first question is, can you give us a simple explanation of epilepsy?
I wish it was simple, but first, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be on your program.
Thank you.
But epilepsy is tough. It's like talking about cancer. There are many types. There are many flavors of epilepsy, some mild, some very severe. But in general, epilepsy refers to a predisposition to have seizures. And this just means that your susceptibility to having a seizure is higher. And that begs the question, what is a seizure? And a seizure just refers to an event in which there is uncontrolled, sustained brain activity that's abnormal and keeps happening, and that it's associated with a change in behavior. And this can be as what most people think of when they hear the word seizure, like a violent convulsion. But many times it's much more mild, more sinister. And this can be things like a staring spell or a brief jerk. There are many, many ways that epilepsy can manifest.
Well, we're looking at MRI pictures right there, right? And so what does that tell us when you look at the MRI?
It can tell you many things. In for some patients, the source of seizures or the source of epilepsy is something that you can find on a picture of the brain, like MRI. It could be something like a tumor or a subtler abnormality of the structure of the brain. But in most cases, the source of epilepsy is invisible. You know, most people with epilepsy have normal cognition and are doing very well, and their brains are structurally normal, and the cause is either unknown or it might be something microscopic.
Well, you know, to be clear, this isn't something you catch from somebody else. You could get it at birth. I suppose you can get it later in life as well, right?
That's correct. It's not contagious, and the highest peak times to get epilepsy are in the first year of life. And in the later years of life, you know, after about age 70, there's increased incidence or increased commonness of the disease.
You know, we talk about the idea that this may be a lot more normal than we think it is, that more people may have epilepsy than even realize in this country. And so, you know, some of the new things that are being done to try to help deal with this include just the use of cannabis, right?
That's correct. You know, to your first point, if you ask most people, do you know somebody with seizures or epilepsy, they will say no. But when somebody has their first seizure, when their family member has their first seizure, and they begin to talk about this with the rest of their family and friends, it is typical that they find out that there are lots of people they know with epilepsy who have been affected by this disease. And in terms of treatments, there's a lot of innovation, and there are some treatments that seem off the wall, like cannabis. But this is a story that emerged in the last decade, where we have collectively found that some forms of cannabis, especially those forms that contain high amounts of cannabidiol or CBD, are actually effective for many forms of epilepsy. And this is an ongoing line of investigation, and I hope the future will help us identify other cannabis compounds or related compounds called cannabinoids that can further help more patients with epilepsy.
There are other treatments as well, right?
Absolutely. So the most common treatments that are appropriate for most patients include a variety of medications. But beyond those medications, there are even specialized diets, but one in particular called the ketogenic diet, which is a very high-fat, low-carbohydrate diet. But there are also all sorts of other approaches, including surgery, where we may remove part of the brain that is the source of seizures, assuming that part of the brain is not essential to quality of life. And there are also new technologies where we implant devices either directly in the brain or in the chest that basically consist of a computer and electrodes that either just stimulate the brain in the effort to prevent seizures, or with some of our new technologies, these electrodes can be taught to detect seizures and abort them upon their detection.
So it's like a pacemaker. You implant this device, and what does that do? It does...
Yeah, it's like pacemaker next generation.
Right.
So in the most cutting edge version, we have electrodes that are placed in the brain at the sites where we think seizures start. And those electrodes are then connected to a device that sits in the skull. It's actually buried in the skull. And that device it contains a battery and a computer. And we use that computer to identify seizures, and we train the computer to identify seizures. And it is constantly measuring brainwaves and storing those brainwaves and even sending those brainwaves to the cloud. So it allows physicians to see what seizures look like essentially live and to teach the computer how to identify those seizures. And at the first few milliseconds in which a seizure is detected, it can send a pulse of electricity to the right parts of the brain that can then hopefully abort a seizure.
You know, we talk about different methods, and music is something that can help out as well. Music actually is very calming for an awful lot of things. But I want to move on to Cameron Boyce. Let's talk about that situation. That got a lot of attention.
Correct, yeah. So he was sadly the victim of what we call SUDEP, or sudden unexpected death in epilepsy. And yeah, just like people don't know about epilepsy, they also don't know about SUDEP. But people with epilepsy, especially those who are in their teens or early 20s, are at pretty high risk for sudden death, especially if their seizure frequency is high. So if a patient continues to have convulsions that are uncontrolled and that they are in that age group, that is a real risk. It's scary, and it's a big target for our treatment.
What can be done?
The main thing you can do is address seizure frequency. So it really puts impetus for providers and patients to be aggressive in the management of seizures and to be not so afraid of the therapies, but be afraid of seizures themselves. I think that's one common thing that we really grapple with too often, is that many of our medications or surgeries or other treatments have scary side effects or they're expensive. But it's very easy to lose sight of the potential devastation that accompanies seizures and clearly the devastation that accompanies SUDEP.
Do me a favor, in about 20 seconds, just sort of give me an idea of where we're going with treatments and research down the road.
Sure. There is a ton of interest and there's a ton of effort to study epilepsy and identify new therapies, but there isn't enough. You know, the main funder of research in the U.S. is the National Institutes of Health, and research for epilepsy is disproportionately funded. It's underfunded compared to other brain disorders and certainly compared to other diseases. And I think that relates back to the stigma. But in brief, we are trying to develop numerous new drugs. We're trying to refine dietary approaches to the treatment of epilepsy. And we are trying to really leverage technology to understand the electrical mechanisms of epilepsy and to use devices like the one I just described, this responsive neurostimulator, to prevent seizures.
All right. Dr. Shawn Hussain, thank you so much. A lot of information there. And, you know, when we come up next on Fox 11 News in Depth, we're going to talk to a mother who has been dealing with this. She's dealt with the battle over her daughter's diagnosis of epilepsy. We'll talk about what's threatened her life when we come back in just a moment. Welcome back to Fox 11 News in Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. As a parent, I can attest that one of the hardest things to deal with in life is to see your child sick or suffering. Parents of children diagnosed with epilepsy know the helplessness of not being able to find ways to make their child's lives better. Francesca Calloway is a Culver City resident. She and her husband have a beautiful little girl named Serafina. She's 7. But Serafina has seen her share of challenges in her 7 short years of life. Let's welcome Francesca Calloway. Your daughter's gorgeous. And tell us a little bit about the journey your family has had to deal with.
Thank you so much for having us and having me today. I think talking about this cause is extremely important and obviously one that is very important to my family. Serafina was born in 2015 in Santa Monica, California. I had a very normal pregnancy. I had a long labor followed by a C-section. And when she was born, she had a little bruise on her head. They had tried to get her out with a vacuum and they decided to ultrasound it. They followed it with an MRI. They discovered that she'd had a stroke at some point leading up to her birth. And that was going to impact her life in ways we didn't know at the time, but we took her home. And really, epilepsy didn't even come into the picture until a few months after we went to UCLA for a follow-up appointment. And they mentioned that kids with strokes had an increased risk of developing epilepsy. Serafina was seizure-free until she was 7 months old. She developed a type of epilepsy called infantile spasms, which is a rare and very dangerous type of epilepsy, very subtle and hard to detect, but we did notice it. My mom actually found videos on YouTube of other kids having these kinds of seizures. We called UCLA. They told us to come to the emergency room. She was diagnosed 48 hours later with infantile spasms. And we went home with a very strong dose of steroids. Within a few days, she was seizure-free. We popped the champagne. We thought we were in the clear. And we were for a few short years, right around the time that COVID hit, when Serafina was 4.5, 5 years old. She had her first focal seizure. And really, it just progressed from there. And it got increasingly more challenging to control her seizures. We added new medications. We went up as high on the dosages as you could on these medications. And we were taking her to the ER. They were having a harder time stopping the seizures when she arrived with IV medication. And we just slowly reached a point where we didn't know where to go with this. Yeah. We were really worried about what to do with
her seizures. I have to ask you, though. I mean, first of all, you saw the seizures. You medication was the first line of defense. That wasn't really effective, and so then you must have thought, you must have started thinking the worst, that you could lose this little girl.
Absolutely. And SUDEP, which is something Dr. Hussein mentioned that Cameron Boyce passed away from, was definitely something that we started to worry about. Especially, she had a seizure a little over a year ago that they had to transfer her to the intensive care unit. They could not get it to stop. And I thought, this is maybe where our road ends. It was very, very scary.
I can't think of a worse thing for a parent to try to deal with. I mean, how did you cope?
Well, I had, I was going to say, I don't know, family, wine, no. We found a community through organizations like Cure Epilepsy, through Facebook. We found other parents going through it. We take Serafina to a bunch of therapy clinics, and we really started to meet people and make friends in the community. And they were extremely helpful in advising us and helping us navigate this journey we're on.
Serafina had surgery. How is she doing now?
She had two surgeries, actually. She had a surgery in May at the University of Chicago. She had a brain surgery, and she had a functional hemispherectomy, which is another type of brain surgery, a disconnection of the two hemispheres of her brain, at UCLA in November. And she's been seizure-free since November. We had a 100 days party this weekend where we celebrated her 100 days of seizure freedom. It's been life-changing.
What's the prognosis?
The prognosis for Serafina, really now we are tracking her development in the ways we were before. She had a stroke, so she does suffer from cerebral palsy. We do a lot of therapies with her, speech, occupational, physical. And then we're obviously, she's still on seizure medication for a year to be sure that we are taking care of the epilepsy. And we're going to track her brain with MRIs in the future. We just had one a few weeks ago. We'll have another one at the year mark. And we're just going to try and enjoy some downtime, enjoy not living every day in fear that she's going to have a seizure. And really, Serafina lived every day in fear that she was going to have a seizure. That's the hardest part about epilepsy, is you don't know when you're going to have one. You don't know where you're going to be. And it made her very anxious. And she was caring a lot for a little girl.
What do you want to tell other parents out there? I mean, you know, you talk about support groups. We got a great big one right here. talk to them?
I think that awareness is key. Making sure you as a parent know your child. If you think that something is not right, talk to your doctor. If your pediatrician is not familiar with what you're discussing, take them to the ER, get a neurologist appointment. And then find other people who may be going through what you're going through. The most important thing for my family moving forward is research, because while this surgery has worked for Serafina, there are many, many kids who don't have a surgical option, and those kids need further research, and we need research for medications, and we need to also end the stigma of people who have epilepsy and just make everyone more aware that it is something that affects one in 26 people. It's the fourth largest neurological disorder, and we have no money except through the NIH, as Dr. Hussein said, and we need to be doing more research and raising more money and raising awareness. That's what I would say.
Francesca Calloway, all the best to your family. Tell Serafina Uncle Hal said hi.
I will. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Coming up next on Fox 11 News in Depth, we've talked a little bit about the causes and treatment of epilepsy, but we're going to talk a little bit about the backbone behind the research and what you can do to help. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Fox 11 News in Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. We know that there are treatments for epilepsy. We know there's hope. Now let's talk about that. Joining us right now in this segment is the Chief Scientific Officer for Cure Epilepsy, Dr. Laura Lubbers. And Doctor, good to see you. Thanks for joining us. And tell us about Cure Epilepsy.
Thank you, Hal. Thank you for this segment on epilepsy. It is so important for us to be able to share more about this really devastating disorder. So Cure Epilepsy is an organization that is laser focused on funding research on epilepsy. We've been around for 25 years, and we are the largest non-governmental funder of epilepsy research in the world.
You had a personal reason for starting this, didn't you?
Yes. So actually, it was started by a group of moms back in 1998. But I came to Cure Epilepsy because my sister was diagnosed with epilepsy as an infant and started having seizures at the age of 3 months. So I know it well. I went on to get a PhD in neuroscience and have turned my experience into a passion for finding cures for epilepsy.
I want to talk about the numbers we're seeing on the screen right now. We're talking about numbers of people that have this. We're talking about numbers of dollars that have been raised. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So we know that there are 3.4 million Americans with active epilepsy, and only 2/3 of them have adequate seizure control. So this is really an issue of over a million people without adequate treatments.
And 3 in 10 don't respond to medication.
Right. 3 in 10 don't. And they go through heroic efforts to find treatments.
And so when we talk about these numbers and the numbers of people that potentially have this, 65 million people worldwide impacted by epilepsy?
Yes.
$90 million to find a cure?
For Cure Epilepsy, yes. That's what we've raised. We also have great partnerships with the NIH and specifically the National Institutes of Neurological Disorders and Stroke, which are also funders of epilepsy research.
Do you think there are a lot of misconceptions about epilepsy?
Absolutely. There are a tremendous number of misconceptions.
Like what?
People think that it's contagious, and it is not. People are highly stigmatized because of it. People think that epilepsy is only a certain form called a tonic-clonic seizure, where you see the physical convulsions, but there are many different kinds of seizures, and it's really important to be aware of them and to know how to manage them should you find somebody having one.
Well, what do you wish people knew that they don't necessarily know?
I wish that they knew that they probably know somebody with epilepsy. 1 in 26 Americans will be diagnosed with epilepsy, either children or later onset epilepsy is a big issue that we just don't talk about. And if we had better seizure control, people would have better quality of life.
Francesca, in the last segment, talked a little bit about this stigma.
Yes.
And it's real.
It is real. People have been known to lose their jobs. They're thought to be contagious. It's a real problem.
You know, we talk about Cure Epilepsy. You're raising money, trying to find a cure.
Yes.
Talk about that.
Yes. So we have a number of ways in which we are doing research. We have different grant mechanisms that researchers can apply for with cutting edge ideas to try to understand epilepsy and treat epilepsy. We also have initiatives where we really do a deep dive or focus in on a specific kind of epilepsy. We recently had an initiative on infantile spasms, which is what Serafina was diagnosed with.
You know, over the years, we've seen great strides in dealing with all kinds of things. Muscular dystrophy, for one, we've seen great strides. But what about with epilepsy? Do we see great strides?
We're in some cases, you know, we've done a better job of finding effective medications. There are better surgical approaches. There are now new devices. And in one case, we actually have a preventative trial that is running for a specific rare disorder called tuberous sclerosis complex that would be revolutionary to be able to prevent the epilepsy associated with that disorder. So we are making strides, but there's still a long way to go.
A couple of questions here. One is, you know, how do you go about educating more people other than getting on television programs like this one right here? And what do you think is the biggest hope on the horizon right now?
Educating people is so incredibly important. And we, again, appreciate the opportunity to do it through your program. We are also having campaigns in public media to help share awareness. We also have programs now in schools to help develop seizure-safe schools. And we hope that this will help educate people as well.
Educate, right? That's what it's really all about. Dr. Laura Lubbers, thank you so much. And continued success on your good work. We'll be back with more Fox 11 News In Depth right after this break. Don't go away. And finally, if you haven't already, please check out my podcast. It's called What the Hal, and it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts, or just go to whatthehalpodcast.com. Once again, we want to thank all of this week's guests for that valuable information. If you want more information or you want to help, go to cureepilepsy.org. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News In Depth. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Have a great week, everybody.